Yesterday afternoon, my wife and I attended the Seniors Christian Fellowship meeting at CCC. On our way back, we were discussing the time, how time passed so fast. Yesterday we said, wow, tomorrow is March the 1st already. 2 months have passed since New Year. You can't not imagine it. It's just like yesterday. And it was just perhaps like a month ago when I came here to speak to you on the year of the horse. 1 year had passed, and now I'm back for the year of the sheep. So farewell to the year of the horse, and welcome to the year of the sheep. Right. Some people will call this the year of the sheep. Others will refer to it as the year of the lamb. Still others will call it the year of the goat. And so as the year of the goat, where the goat gallops in to 2015, they also refer to it as the year of the ram. Whether it be sheep or lamb or goat or ram, what I'm going to do is I'm going to combine all these four animals and see what I can study about them from the scriptures. Remember, this study of the year of the Chinese New Year animal is not a prediction of the year to come or something like that. It is a Bible study. And so I'm going to put these four animals together, and we can see that they develop into a very beautiful outline of redemption, of God's redemption program. So that the year of the sheep will speak to us of the strayed sinner, the year of the goat of the substitute's sacrifice, the year of the ram as the saint's surrender, because one who has been saved is expected to surrender his life for the Lord. And then we shall see one day when we all shall be gathered together in heaven, and we shall sing, "Worthy is the Lamb, for he was slain." For the one who was slaughtered would be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now this study I have made with last month, Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall, the first one. Then I went on to Island Gates Gospel Center. And the week after, Sungai Ara. And then after that, of course, Chinese New Year. Then last week I was at Burma Road, and today I galloped from the previous year to this year across the channel to Butterworth Gospel Hall. And then I'll finish next week when I go to BM Gospel Center. And that will cover all the six assemblies in Penang on the year of the sheep. Right. As an introduction, let's see what the world has to say about the year of the sheep. Firstly, I'd like to remind us that the year commences from February 19, 2015, and it will conclude on February the 12th, 2016. And it is called the year of the sheep because it is taken from the Chinese zodiac, and it is the 8th of 12 animals, beginning from the rat, the ox, the rabbit, the dragon, the snake, the horse, and this year we have the goat, the 8th animal, and next year we have the monkey. Now, as I have given this homework to all the other assemblies that I have spoken to, I shall give you the same homework. And this homework, the time to complete it, I give you is 1 year. 1 year to do your research. And next year when I come here, if you invite me, of course. Oh yes, Johnny has invited me already. Next year, I will come back for the year of the monkey, and I shall be asking you, please tell me your research in the Bible, where the monkey is found in scripture. That is your homework 1 whole year. Search through the scriptures where the word monkey occurs, and then prepare a study on the year of the monkey that will last half an hour at least. because I have this assignment for next year. So that is your homework 1 year, to prepare just a half an hour message. Right. What does the world say about this year of the monkey? Of the period of the sheep. I'm sorry, of the sheep, not monkey. The monkey is playing tricks with me. So we shall study the year of the monkey. What kind of year will it be? Now, according to these fortune tellers, the year of the monkey is going to be very good. Gentle. Because the sheep is gentle. Oh, sorry, monkey again. I must get this monkey out of my mind. It's the sheep, sorry. Now, the sheep is very gentle, so they say that this year will be a very gentle year. Is it going to be a gentle year? Well, we just have to look back at the last part of the year of the horse. And we found how traumatic it could be with the loss of 2 planes and 1 still a mystery, with the murder of people, women, children, Christians. We just beheaded like they were animals, and then blood being splattered in the sea. Are we human beings? But these people, fortune tellers, say that this year, 2015, the year of the sheep, will be a good year, because the sheep is a gentle sheep, gentle animal. It is going to create a lot of innovations and inventions. Well, let's hope so. But these inventions, some of them we know cannot be for good, because they can be for evil and bad as well. And it's good. It's a good year, because the sheep's fur is white, and therefore it is near to purity. It's a good, going to be a good year. But I think even this year of the sheep, at the very commencement, just a few days, we have already had very bad, traumatic reports of what has happened. So is it going to be a good year? I don't think so. Well, whatever it is, what about the person born in the year of the sheep? According to these people, the person born in the year of the sheep, he will be tender, polite, filial, clever, and kind-hearted. He has special sensitivity to art and beauty, faith in a certain religion, and a special fondness for quiet living. He is wise, gentle, and compassionate, and can cope with business cautiously and circumspectly. In yearly life, he tries to be economical. Women born in this age or in this year are willing to take good care of others, but they should avoid pessimism and hesitation. They are kind in heart and commonly have symmetrical figures and features, beautiful, charming. Now, I wonder whether I should call all those born in the year of the sheep to stand up and see whether they fit in with this or not. No, I don't want to embarrass you. Let's go on to their weak points. Must know their weak points too. See whether it's true. Sheep year people are often worriers who are shy, pessimistic, moody, indecisive, oversensitive, weak-willed, and puzzled about life. They are easily inclined to be deeply religious. They are timid in nature and like to be looked after by others. They like flattery, compliment, and suggestions from friends. They do not dare to express their love and openly, and actually have interest in strange theories. Inventive, creative, strange theories. Now, these people born in the year of the sheep, you are like that. Again, we won't embarrass you by asking you to stand up. We are not sure. And this is the forecast by, you know, these fortune tellers. Well, it's taken from Travel China Guide. All right. Now, apart from all this, what does God have to say about all this fortune telling? What the stars foretell in the star paper? Astrology. Fortune tellers. Feng Shui. Predicting the future. And so on. What does the Bible have to say about these things? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, You shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer, fortune telling, who interprets omens or a sorcerer, who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist, who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. For these nations listen to soothsayers and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Please stay away from these fortune-telling people. This is an abomination unto the Lord. Read God's word and find out what God's word has to say. Every morning, rather than looking at your star and see what the stars will tell, look into your word, look into the scriptures, and see what the Lord's will for you is for the day. Read God's word every day. Rob, what does the word have to say about the year of the sheep? Now, as I pointed out just now, in order to know the actual meaning or the right meaning of a word, we need to see how many times it occurs, where it occurs. Now, this word sheep, translated from the original Hebrew in the Old Testament, from various words. There are a number of words we will not consider them because we are not going to do a deep study of the word sheep. We will not have time for that. So, just to let you know that the word sheep, the English word sheep, is translated from various Hebrew words in the Old Testament, but they sort of amount to what sheep is. And then in the New Testament, we find that there is only one Greek word that is used. And it is not even specified that it is a sheep. It is used for any animal that grazes the grass. So that is sheep in the New Testament. But what we are interested in is the symbolism of the sheep. How the word sheep is used in the Bible. But firstly, we note that sheep is used for people who are scattered, without leaders. Now, King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, one day met with the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, Ahab, and they discussed whether they should take back Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel was agreeable to do battle with Syria in order to get back the town. And so the king Jehoshaphat said, let us call the prophets and see what they have to say to seek God's will. But they didn't call God's true prophet Ahab, as you know, the bad king, the evil king. He called his prophets, and his prophets were false prophets, like the fortune tellers, the soothsayers. And they said, oh yes, go and do battle, you will win. But Jehoshaphat, a godly king, did not trust them. Said, no, let us send for God's prophet, true prophet. And in the end, Ahab agreed to call Micaiah. And Micaiah came along, and then he said, you go to battle, this is what's going to happen. You will be scattered as sheep without shepherd on the mountains. Of course, Ahab would not like it. But later on, Ahab was killed because he went in spite of the prophet warning him not to. And so we find that sheep is used for people who are without shepherd, leaderless, moving around on their own, being left alone by themselves. Now, sheep must not be left like that. Sheep is also used for innocent, helpless and helpless people facing slaughter and death. For example, in Psalm 44, verse 22, we read that Israel said that we have been walking around, persecuted and killed day after day. We are like sheep being led to the slaughter. Then it is also used, as you know very well, in Luke chapter 15, for sinners. when the Lord Jesus Christ told the parable of the lost sheep, it is a symbol of a lost sinner. We go into detail about this as we go on. So we look at the occasions, where and how this word sheep is used. Certain occasions stand out in this year of the sheep with regard to the strayed sinner. Like, we look at the sheep. In the Old Testament, the word sheep is often used, but not specifically only, for God's people under His protection. For example, you know the very famous hymn, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." God's people are known as His sheep. And in the present, because God's people are His sheep, God has appointed His people, His servants, to go and search for the lost sheep. The Lord Himself was searching for the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7, as the shepherd going out to seek for the lost sheep. And the Lord also said to Peter, one day after he had been restored, He challenged Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And the Lord said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." It's very important. Shepherds are very important, not only in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, but today as leaders and as elders in any assembly. They are the shepherds, and they will have to care for the sheep. "Feed my lambs," the young Christians. "Feed my sheep," the more matured ones. They have to be taken care of. They need to be fed. They need to be taught. They need to be built up. They need to be edified. They need to be encouraged, and so on. And so, quite the instruction goes, "Feed my lambs and feed my sheep," to Peter after he had been restored. Then we also read in Acts chapter 20, 28, 30, Paul warned the elders and Miletus, "You take care. You have been given the oversight of the sheep. And if you don't care, take care of the sheep, then you're responsible." But unfortunately, we know, as we study the history of the church of Ephesus, the leaders did not care, and the church went into ruins, and today the church of Ephesus was nothing but just one pillar, nothing more. Then in prophecy, we find that the sheep would represent the righteous who treat the Jews properly. And on the other side, the goats. This is the first time where we have a contrast between the sheep and the goat in the judgment of nations. When all the nations will be gathered together, Matthew chapter 25, 31 to 33, and all those who treat the Jews or Israel well will be the sheep. And they will go and enter into the millennial kingdom for blessing. Those who don't treat the Jews well, they will be known as the goats, and they will be separated and sent into punishment. I think what I said just now is relevant to what is found in Matthew chapter 30, 25, because it's a judgment of nations. The shepherd. In connection with the sheep, let's look briefly at the shepherd. Of course, with the sheep, Jesus is the shepherd. And we read John 10, 11 and 14, Jesus is the good shepherd. He said, "I am the good shepherd. I laid down my life for the sheep." Then we read also that Jesus is the great shepherd. And as the great shepherd in Hebrews 13, 20 to 21, we read that He makes us perfect in every good work. And then Jesus is also the chief shepherd. As the chief shepherd, He rewards elders who take care of the sheep well, who lead the sheep well, who give much time to care for the sheep. These people, these leaders, elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, will receive from Him later on the crown of glory for their shepherding work. So, we are finished with the year of the sheep. Now we come on to the year of the goat. When we talk of the goat is often used as a substitute in a sacrifice. Right. For example, what the world says, we already know, is the same as what they have said for the year of the sheep. But what does the word have to say about the goat? Again, the occurrences. The word goat is translated from the Hebrew word, and various words are used. So we won't go into detail for that. In the New Testament, there are only two words used to translate goat in the Greek. And often again, it is associated with the sheep, but not specifically a sheep. So we have the occurrences of the word sheep. But we shall look at the occasions so that we can learn better. Where are the occasions where this goat appears that we can study from? One, we see how they are used in symbolism. It's of the king in West, of the king of the West in prophecy. For example, in Daniel chapter 8, we read that Daniel saw a vision. He saw a vision of a goat and a ram. The goat had a little horn. Had a horn coming out and doing battle with the ram. The ram was a symbol of the empire of Medo-Persia. The goat was a symbol of Greece. And the horn was a symbol of Alexander the Great. And in that vision, Daniel saw the goat doing battle with the ram, and the goat won the confrontation. And in history, we know the Grecian Empire overcame the Medo-Persian Empire, and at the head of the Grecian Empire, leading the conquest was none other than Alexander the Great. So this prophecy was fulfilled. It was not a false prophecy. It was fulfilled. And as with all other prophecies from the Word of God, they will be fulfilled. And so, with the judgment of nations that we read in Matthew 25, when those who do not treat Israel well will be judged, and they will be like goats sent into judgment. Then, goats are also used as sacrificial animals. Why can they be used as sacrificial animals? Because they are clean. Only clean animals can be eaten by the Jews. The halal, that's where you get halal. Can only be eaten by the Jews and can only be used for sacrifice. What are the conditions for being halal? Well, two conditions. The goat or the animal that is clean must chew the cud. You see a cow or even a goat, first grazing the grass. After grazing the grass, it swallows the grass into its stomach. Then, after it has eaten up everything, it goes to a shade under a tree, and then it lies down, and then it doesn't eat anymore, but you see its mouth chewing. What is happening? The food that it had first swallowed is taken up again, and then it starts to chew and to digest and to masticate until it's fit to go into the stomach. That action is known as to masticate or to ruminate. And those of you who have been receiving my ruminations, this is what I have in mind. That as you read my ruminations, the first, you just go through quickly, just to have a glimpse or a glimpse of what is in store. Then you go to work. And as you work, when there is some time left, you think over these things. And that's when you start to ruminate. You think over more carefully the challenges I have put down there, the truths that I have laid down in my rumination. You think over these, you reflect them. And that's how my ruminations go out to you. And it's called rumination because of the masticating process that is wanted from those who read it. Alright, so another condition for a clean animal is that the animal must have split hooves. Split hooves. So a cow and a goat has this. And that's why you find that they can be used for sacrifice. Then there is another way the goat is used. And this is what is called the scapegoat. And this is for the occasion of the Atonement Day. Now let's see what happened, because we can learn many lessons for Atonement Day. standing goats in the ritual on Atonement Day. Let's see the conditions laid down for the Day of Atonement. Firstly, note the two offenders that were judged because of not following God's orders. They wanted to worship God, and they were Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10. And what wrong did they do? They had an incense, and it says that they used strange fire to burn the incense to worship. God was angry. God struck the two sons of Aaron. Remember that? Yeah, high hierarchy. Two sons of Aaron. God struck them dead immediately. What's so wrong about using fire to light up the incense? To worship. You remember, during the time when the instructions were given concerning the construction of the tabernacle, after it was completed, fire came from the sanctuary through and lit up the sacrifice, the burnt offering on the altar. This fire was from God, and this fire was never to be allowed to be extinguished. And this fire must always be used for any sacrifice or for the burning of incense. But Nadab and Abihu apparently did not use this fire. They used some other fire. And as a result, God struck them dead. And the lesson for us to learn is this. Let us, as we think of worship, never think that this is the way we think God should be worshipped. But we should only worship the way God wants Himself to be worshipped as revealed in the Scriptures. And today there are many, many places where they think that God is to be worshipped in their way. That is wrong. That is using strange fire. So be careful of that. So because of that, God then came back with two barriers. From that day onwards, God said, no priest could enter the Holy of Holies anytime they like anymore. And they must do so with an offering. And so the Lord specified one day when only the high priest could enter, and with an offering. Alright, so two obstacles were raised. Two offerings were instructed. The high priest must bring two offerings. Firstly, one was for himself, because as high priest he also had sinned, but chiefly for the nation of Israel. And he must bring two bullocks. Two bullocks. After that, he also must bring for sacrifice a ram. This was for the burnt offering. So two offerings were instructed for the Day of Atonement. The sin offering and the burnt offering. Sin offering to clear your sin so that you can appear before God. Ram offering or the burnt offering was that you may surrender your life to the Lord. Therefore, it is expected that everyone who has been saved by the very sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ must not only treasure what He has done for you, must learn to surrender, to present your body as a living sacrifice, unto God, which is your reasonable worship. And so this is what is expected, why a sin offering must be followed by a burnt offering. And on that Day of Atonement, the sin offering consisted of two goats. Why the two goats? One goat was to be selected by lot for sacrifice, and the other was selected by lot for to be set free. One is called Azazel, or the scapegoat, and the other is the sacrifice for the sacrifice on the altar. Alright? So we find that the two goats will be brought before the high priest. One is the scapegoat, the other one is the Lord's goat. The Lord's goat will be sacrificed, and his blood will be taken by the high priest into the Holy of Holies to be sprinkled on the mercy seat. The other goat, known as the scapegoat or the Azazel, will be used to identify the high priest or the priest representing the nation when he puts his hand upon the head of the goat, and after that to be released into the wilderness. This is a two-in-one offering to typify that the Lord Jesus Christ one day will give his life as the goat in sacrifice for our sin, as a sin offering. He will die, but he will take away in his death all our sins and be left in the wilderness, so to speak, as far as the east is from the west, and you'll be remembered no more. And then we find that he will be raised up, and he will be the priest, high priest, our high priest in heaven. Now, this of course cannot be pictured in the sacrifice of the goat. Once you kill the goat cannot come up alive anymore. But the Lord Jesus Christ, once slain, rose up again. So that's why there are two goats, one killed and the other to be released in the wilderness. So the one and for all sacrifice, that the sacrifice for sin is no more repeated, as we read in Hebrews 9, 11 to 15 and chapter 10, verse 10 and so on. Right, so we finish with the sheep of the year of the sheep, the goat. Now we come to the ram. The ram is very interesting because it speaks of the same surrender. It is that burnt sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. What does the word have to say? The word ram is used as a name for three persons. We won't go into that. It is also the name used for an animal for sacrifice. And we shall see how this ram is used for sacrifice. It occurs many times in the Old Testament, but not once, even in the New Testament. The occasions when we see the ram being used. Right, let's see. One, we start with the year of the ram of confirmation. In Genesis 15, verses 8 and 9, in Genesis 15 especially, and Genesis chapter 12, in the Abrahamic covenant, God promised Abraham that he will bless Abraham, he will bless his seed, and he will give him a land, and so on. And Abraham was in doubt. How do I know that these things will come to pass? And God said, right, I'll tell you. Genesis chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, God asked him to take a ram, a she-goat, and heifer of 3 years each, 3 years old, and then a turtle dove and a pigeon. And of the ram, the she-goat, and the heifer, he must cut them into two and have two halves. One half he must lay on one side of the road, another half on the other side, except the turtle dove and the pigeon, because they are too small. These three big animals were cut into half, and then they were put on either side of the path. At night, Abraham fell asleep, and he saw in that night vision a smoking pot and a flaming torch passing through the two halves of these animals. What does that mean? Abraham had asked, how do I know that you will keep your promises? And God said, this is how you know. I'm walking through the two halves of these animals to show you that I will keep my promise. This was an Old Testament ceremony or ritual to show that when two parties agree on a contract, then they will walk through the between the two halves of an animal that was killed, to show that if they ever broke the promise, then they would be killed like the animals. But in this particular case, these two symbols represent only God. They don't represent Abraham. They represent only God. And it is only God who passes through. In other words, it is a unilateral, unconditional covenant. As with the new covenant. As with the new covenant. God and only God will keep it, and it does not depend upon the obedience of Abraham, because God has made a promise. And that is why this is important. The ram. Now let's see the role of the ram. The second time the word ram occurs in scripture, Genesis 22:13. You are very familiar with this story, so I won't go into it. How the ram later on was caught in the thicket to replace the son of Abraham, Isaac. Alright? You know this very well, so we won't touch on it. It is the occasion when Abraham learned that Lord God was his Jehovah Yahweh Jireh. The Lord will provide. Alright? Because that ram would be used or was used to represent the sacrifice of his son, so that his son did not have to die. In Romans 8:32, we read, God spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, in order that Abraham might be spared his son. Well, we see also the ram being used in various sacrifices. For example, the ram was used in the trespass offering. The ram was used in the peace offering. The ram was also used for the atonement, as we found out just now. But there's another occasion which is important for us to know, that the ram was used for the burnt offering for consecration. Let us go into this in greater detail, because this is important. When the priest, high priest, when the priest were to be installed as such in their office, they had got to go through a ritual of consecration. Firstly, we find that there was a sin offering of a bullock given on behalf of Aaron and his sons to be priests, then followed by a burnt offering of a ram. Very important, saved to serve, not saved to seek and enjoy yourself. Saved to serve. And so we find the burnt offering must be given. But there is another stage further. And this stage is another ram to be sacrificed. And it is for consecration. Where salvation, service, and when God has called us to a very specific site, a specific place of service, then that is consecration. Where you will seek to do God's will, as so many people have come out to serve the Lord in full time. So, what is the basis for consecration to a specific service unto the Lord? Firstly, there is the acceptance of the ram's merit. The ram is taken up, and then the priest had to lay their hands upon the ram's head, so that they would identify themselves with the ram. And you will note that the ram was without blemish, without spot. And they were committed to a life of spotless, sinless service unto God. Then Moses would take the blood of the ram that was slain, and the ram, that the blood would then be applied, to the right ear of the priest, to indicate that this man, this priest, was now ready to obey God's word. And the blood would also be taken to apply to the right thumb of the priest, to indicate that this priest was prepared to do what the Lord wanted him to do according to his word. And then finally, the blood will be applied to the right big toe of his foot to indicate that he would walk in the way of God. And so we find that the priests, before they become priests to serve in the sanctuary, they must be installed. And for the installment of ritual, their ears have to be sprinkled with blood, their right thumb must be sprinkled with blood, and their right toe, to indicate they are prepared to obey God in every way. Now, the word bread occurs for the last time, singular, in Daniel chapter 8. We have found that out already with regard to the vision Daniel saw, so we will not talk more about it. The fact was that prophecy was fulfilled. It was not a soothsaying, it was not fortune telling, it was historically fulfilled. And if God could control the events of that day, let us take heart that God can also control the events that are happening today in the world and also in our country, in Malaysia. God is in control, in spite of what man may say, that they will preserve their race until the suns and stars and moons are no more, because that is God's prerogative, not man's prerogative. And they may like to wipe out Israel, but God says Israel will be there forever and ever. And so, the last time the word orems as plural occurs is in Micah chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And we read, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to do well, that to walk humbly with thy God." Now, even if you are prepared, you have prepared thousands of rams to sacrifice, but if your heart is not there, it's just no use. Because what God wants is an offering, and I say this as my last greeting to all of you for this Chinese New Year, that is a life that exhibits ethics and not externals. Not by doing all the outward things only, but inside your heart, you must be right with God. To be right with God. And then you are prepared to commit your person to do, as we read in James 1, 22 and 25, "Blessed is the person that not only listens, but does what he knows. And thirdly, that he must submit in obedience and not ostentation just to show off." Because we read in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, "It is better to obey than to sacrifice." So, with this, I take this opportunity in this year of the Lamb to let you see how finally it will end. The lamb that was led to the slaughter in Isaiah 53:7 was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, prophesied in picture form. He was the lamb that would take away the sin of the world. That lamb that was slain, he would be the one who one day will sit on the throne, and all those up in heaven and under the earth and all over, millions and thousands and multitudes of them, as we read in at our Lord's Supper this morning, they shall honor him and they shall cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb, for he was slain." The Lamb that was slaughtered, that was slain, would then become the sovereign, and we shall crown him king and we shall worship him. So, with that, let us join together with those in heaven, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And hopefully all of you also will say, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him. and live that liberty forever and ever. That is worship. So, I take this opportunity to wish all of you a blessed Chinese New Year. And although this word is shirked off by many Chinese Christians, say, we must never use prosperity. I'm going to use the word prosperity. And many of you say, you must not refer to the God of prosperity. I'm going to refer to the God of prosperity. May the God of prosperity prosper you. Are you angry with me? Alright. May the Lord, may the God of prosperity prosper you in your walk and perhaps find a good wife. That's often the greeting of seniors to the younger generation on Chinese New Year Day. When you give ang pao to the younger ones, we hope that with this ang pao, you also find a good wife and a good husband. Alright? Prosper you in that way. Whatever it is, it says there, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son Abraham regarding Isaac, and from my kindred and my father's house. Then again we read Genesis 39:3, the Lord God of prosperity may prosper you in your work. We read the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. That was Joseph in Potiphar's wife's house. Genesis 39:23, in your ways, the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So may the Lord prosper you in your walk, in your work, in your ways, and most important of all, in his word, that you will know the word of God. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. May the God of prosperity prosper you this year of the lamb, of the sheep, of the goats, of the ram. So a blessed Chinese New Year to all of you. May the Lord bless and prosper you in this year of the sheep, or you like to it to be the year of the goat, or the year of the ram. The Lord bless you from all of us, me, my wife, and my family. The Lord bless. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the study of the sheep, the goat, the ram, and the lamb. Lord, it concerns us individually and personally, and it concerns our Lord as well. It tells us of what he is, it tells us of what we are, and it tells us of what we need, how we need to relate to him. Lord, help us to bring our sacrifice of a sin offering, of a burnt offering, and above all, of a consecration offering, that we may be what thou have us to be. So prosper us this year as we move our way, in our walk, in our ways, in our words, and above everything else, in your word, that we may study what thou hast to say to us. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this year, this day. Be with us this year, we do pray. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.